right. Well, obviously there's been a lot of building projects going on in this place. There's been a lot of work the last couple days, and I'm sure that everybody that's been around can see it, that, hey, maybe I'm not the best builder, but I'm trying. Okay, I'm trying to learn. Apparently you're not supposed to put the screw in your finger or hammer your thumb, but I've still got 8 fingers that are good. So, yeah, I know we've talked about that before, but, you know, we can think about building things and doing that kind of stuff and that kind of labor as just something that isn't as important to God as maybe like the spiritual things we might think of or you know, those types of things. But what I want us to see today and what we're going to see is it is important to God. Right? And there's building projects all over the Bible, and there's physical that physical work and the building that comes out of God's nature, who God is, that God is a building God. And that's what a little bit what we're going to look at today in Scripture. It really lines up with where we're at in the story anyways, and it lines up with what we're doing as a church. And so if you have a Bible with you today, you can go ahead and start getting it open up to where we're going to be. We're going to be in the book of Haggai. Now, you might need, like, if you're like me, you might need to use the table of contents. I would definitely be looking at table of contents right now if I were you to find that one. Haggai is one of the prophets, a minor prophet, so it's kind of towards the end of the Old Testament. You'll find him sandwiched in there somewhere around the other minor prophets. But good luck with that. While you're looking for the Haggai, I am going to just kind of recap where we've been so far. We've been in this sermon series called The Story, looking at the big picture overview of the Bible, especially in the Old Testament, starting at the very beginning to the end. Okay, and today is going to be the last day that we are in this sermon series for now. And so I thought it'd be a good way to start off today, just recapping where we've been, just big picture. What is the story of the Bible, the Old Testament? If you're new to it, you can kind of get something out of that. But if you're not new to it, you can still kind of get something just from looking at the big picture story. So let's dive in. Before we dive into Haggai, we're going to dive in just where we were, where we've been in the story. So we started in the book of Genesis. We saw that God is a good God. Tov was the Hebrew word we've been saying a lot. Tov means good, beautiful, true. And we saw that God is good, and he made people, and he said that people are very good in Genesis 1. Problem happens a little bit later in Genesis chapter 3. The people decide that they want to redefine good for themselves, and they therefore unleash evil into the world. Sin enters the world. Corruption enters the world in the story in the third chapter of the Bible. But we see that God is a God who wants to restore the good. Okay, he's about restoring that original intention, that original creation, Genesis 1. It's just what God has been doing since he created the world. He's been about restoring it back to his original intentions. It's the story of a good God who's working all things together for the good of those who love him. That was the first week. The second week, we looked at the story of the family of God, which God came to a man named Abraham. Abraham's family becomes the nation of Israel. They end up down in Egypt, and they're slaves in Egypt. But God saves them out of that slavery. He redeems them. That means purchases them back, and he saves them out of slavery. And it's kind of a big picture showing that we are all kind of enslaved to our own desires and to our own sin and our shame. But through Jesus, God offers us that same redemption. We saw that God is a redeeming God who wants to bring people back into his possession. So he does this in the book of Exodus, through the Red Sea, parts the sea, saves them out of Egypt. And then the very next story that we looked at the next week is the Ten Commandments story. And we saw that the Ten Commandments story wasn't just God giving them a list of 10 things to do or 10 rules. But we saw that it's also a story about how God is showing how to have a relationship with him. He's defining that relationship with his people when he gives the Ten Commandments. He's saying, if you want to have a relationship with me, it's gonna be based off this covenant, off this, like, this is how we define it, right? We pursue these things if you're in relationship with me. And we saw that God is a relational God who's pursuing relationship with us even when we fail. Because all throughout the story, you're going to see the people keep failing, they keep failing, keep falling, yet God pursues them and wants a relationship with them. Okay, then we looked at the book of Numbers. Again, I know we're flying through this, but this is just a big picture thing. We looked at how the very next thing that people go through the wilderness, they end up in the wilderness for 40 years because they don't trust God. And we see how God is testing them continually and saying, do you really trust me? Throughout the book of Numbers. And we saw that his purpose in testing the people then was to form their faith and their trust in him. Just like it is today, God tests us to form our character and our trust and our faith in him. Then, the next week, we looked at the book of Judges. Okay, so the people get into the land. They come into the promised land. They're finally there. And you think, okay, they're going to be good now. But they keep on rebelling, as you might have guessed. They keep on sinning, yet God keeps rescuing them. And we saw in this part of the story how God is unexpectedly patient with them. And his patience is meant to lead them and us to change. Okay, 1st and 2nd Samuel, a couple more. We talked about how God is sovereign, how he's working all things out according to his plan. And he is this sovereign creator king who, although he is a king, right, he gives creatures the choice to live under it or to not live under it. And then the week after that, we went into 1st and 2nd Kings. We saw Israel continuing to worship false gods. We saw the story of this guy named Elijah. And the point of that story is to show that God is the one true God of all of us. Okay. And then last week, finally, okay, we got to Jeremiah and Lamentations. And Mike did an excellent job going through those books for us. And what we saw at the end of that book is that the exile. Okay. So the people, they were in their promised land, but because of their continued rebellion, their continued lack of trust in God, they end up in exile at a place called Babylon. And that, all that, is to bring us up to where we're at today. Okay, so they continue to rebel. They're conquered by Babylon. They're taken into captivity for 70 years. This is all happening, if you like history, this is around 586 BC, is around when this is happening. And Jerusalem's destroyed. The temple that they had built was destroyed. And that's where we're at in the story. Okay, so if you are at the place of Haggai, we're going to be in chapter 1 of this book. Okay, so let's go ahead and read Haggai chapter 1, verses 2 through 6. And it's on the screen as well. It says this, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, these people say the time has not yet come to rebuild the house of the Lord. Then the word of the Lord came by the hand of Haggai the prophet. Is it a time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses, while this house lies in ruins? Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and harvested little. You eat, but you never have enough. You drink, but you never have your fill. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages does so to put them into a bag with holes." So a little bit of context here that we need to kind of back up and talk about before we really understand what's going on in this passage. So like I said, they had gone to Babylon, but in 539 BC, Babylon was conquered by Persia. Okay, and then Persia, the Persian king, his name was Cyrus, he allowed the people that were from other countries and other places to go back to their homes. So the Jews were allowed to return home. And this man named Zerubbabel, kind of a funny name, kind of hard to say, Zerubbabel, he led about 50,000 of the Jews exiles back to their homeland in Canaan. And so when they got back, they began to rebuild the foundation of the temple. They started to work on the temple that had been destroyed 70 years before. And all of a sudden, they start to get some opposition to that. They start to do the work, but there's opposition. There's people discouraging them, threatening them, not wanting the work to keep going. Their enemies don't like that they're working. And so the Persian king ordered it to be stopped. And for 16 years, no work is done, okay? So they go back, they're starting to rebuild the temple, they're starting to kind of rebuild their lives after exile. For 16 years, nothing is done, okay? And then enters this man named Haggai, okay? Haggai that we just read, he's one of the prophets of Israel. So God used Haggai to kind of speak into this situation. So when he comes and says, these people say the time has not yet come to rebuild the house of the Lord, but you're living in your paneled houses, okay? So it's almost like God's telling the people, you keep procrastinating, okay? Kind of like me with house projects around, you know? You keep procrastinating. You keep putting this off. But look at this current situation. Does this make sense, right? You're living in paneled houses, okay? And at this time, in this time in history, if you had any type of paneling, like you were living in luxury. So basically what he's saying is you're living in really nice, luxurious homes for this time, and yet my house, the temple of God, is lying in ruins, right? Look at this current situation. Does this make sense for you? And almost in the next section, God's like, how's that going for you, right? Because look at what that's getting you. You eat, but you don't have enough. You drink, but you never get your fill. Okay, how's that going for you? It's almost like God knew about the theologian from the 1960s. I think they're the Rolling Stones. They said, "You can't get no satisfaction." Anybody heard that song? Okay. It's like God saying that, okay? And honestly, that is kind of what life is like without God, right? When God is not in our life, that life is empty, it's unfulfilling, we can't find satisfaction. God's almost saying in this section, he's like, so you're not building the house of God, okay? You're not on mission with me. And how's that going for you? You eat, but you don't have enough. You drink, but you can't get enough. You're not finding fulfillment in life because you are not on mission with me. You're not doing what I'm calling you to do. And so God tells them, start rebuilding, okay? This is the time. Begin rebuilding. Begin the process. And God actually uses another prophet during this time. His name is Zechariah. You don't have to turn there. But Zechariah was another prophet along with Haggai. And he is telling them things in the same time period. And one thing we really got to touch on today, this is really important. Okay, God tells them, this is how I want you to do it. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Remember that. Okay, this is how God, the framework, the heart, attitude God's telling them to build the temple with, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit. Okay, God's speaking these things into their lives through the prophets at the time. And says, we won't read those verses, but it says the people feared the Lord. Okay, meaning they respected what God said. They respected that okay, God's telling us it's time to start building. And God promises. So when they feared the Lord, they respond to obedience. They say, okay, we're going to build this. And God promises he's going to be with them. He says, don't be afraid. Be strong. Okay, be strong and courageous. Almost echoing earlier passages like in the Bible from Joshua and those types of things. It says, be strong, be courageous, build this house. Okay, and if you will, flip with me or look on the screen to chapter 2 of Haggai. It says this in verse 6. Chapter 2, verse 6. For thus says the Lord of hosts, yet once more in a little while, I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. I will shake all the nations so that the treasures of all nations come in. I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine and the gold is mine. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, declares the Lord of hosts. The latter glory of this house shall be greater than the former glory, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place, I will give peace, declares the Lord of hosts. Okay, so God says he's going to shake the heavens. Okay, that means kind of a phrase for like God's going to do something. Like God's about to move, about to do something different. And what's he going to do? It says he's going to fill this house, okay, speaking of the temple, with his glory. He's going to fill this house with his glory. Okay, and he says that he's going to give them peace in this house. After he fills it with his glory, there's going to be peace. There's going to be well-being. Okay, he's promising them good things that we're going to come out of. They commit to this work. They work hard. They build the temple. God's glory is going to fill it, and there's going to be peace. Okay, and so in 516 BC, around that time, the temple, the second temple now, was finished being built. All right, and that's not the end of the story for where we're at today, though. So the people worked hard. They built the temple. They obeyed God. But 60 years later, they're still not really worshiping God in the way that God wanted to be worshiped. They're not getting the whole picture, okay? And so 60 years go by, and there's this another leader. His name is Ezra. And Ezra is one of the Jews, but he was living in Babylon. He comes back to Jerusalem. So something to know about Ezra, let's just read this verse. This is what Ezra, the kind of the posture Ezra took upon coming back to see what was going on. And the temple had been built, but they weren't really worshiping God yet. So Ezra 7:10 says, Ezra set his heart to study the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach his statutes and his rules in Israel. This is just a verse we got to hit today because this is so good. If you have any desire to lead others, right, and all of us are leaders in some capacity, whether you're teaching the Bible up front or you're just trying to lead your family and devotional time or whatever that is. Okay, any desire to lead somebody else in Jesus, this is a verse you got to remember. Okay, you got to memorize, you got to take it to heart. Because what does Ezra do? First, he set his heart to study the law of the Lord. He had to know it first. He had to have God's law, God's rule, God's instructions in his heart. Okay, he had to have that part first. Then it says he had to do it. He had to practice it. He had to apply it into his life. Then he could teach his statutes and rules in Israel. And so this is this really good, helpful thing for us, right? If we want to help others know Jesus and follow him, we got to know it ourselves first, but we can't just know it. We got to do it, got to practice it, and then we can help others to do it. And so Ezra goes back to the area with this in mind. Okay, he's saying, I'm going to have this heart. I'm going to study God's law, his rule, his instructions, and I'm going to teach it, and I'm going to help others to find God as well. And so, as you can imagine, right, what he finds when he gets back there, like the story we've been talking about the whole time, the big picture is the people keep rebelling. They keep falling away from God. They keep forgetting about the true God, and that's what Ezra finds when he gets back there. And it shakes him up. Okay, he's shaken up by that, and so he's going to lead the people into this revival period. And there's this other guy named Nehemiah. So we won't talk about him much today. But another guy in this time frame called Nehemiah that was the leader that helped rebuild the walls around Jerusalem. Something that's kind of interesting about Nehemiah is that it says they built the walls in 52 days, and there was enemies all around them trying to, you know, stop the project from going on. And he had the people working with one hand, like they were doing their work with one hand, holding a sword in the other hand to fend off enemies. Okay, we were joking the other day, just real quick, Mike and I were joking that he probably should have had his sword in his hand when we were working together yesterday, because his nose wouldn't be messed up right now. So if you see Mike, you know, that's right there. I'm going to take credit for that one, because I wasn't paying attention and knocked him in the face with metal. So, well, I shouldn't say it like that. It fell, right? It fell off the...
I think your first description was just
wrong. People are going to get the wrong idea here, Mike. Yeah. If you want to know what happens when you mess with me, just look at Mike's nose. If he would have had a sword in one hand and work in the other, like Nehemiah said, it would have been okay. But the point in saying that is Nehemiah, okay, he comes back, builds the walls. And in the book of Nehemiah, it says Ezra and Nehemiah together, says they read from the book, from the law of God clearly, and they gave the sense so that the people understood the reading. So the point in me sharing this verse is to say there's a revival of true worship. Okay, it took 60 years. They built the house, but that led to true worship of God when they understood his word and they applied his word and they lived out his word. That's what worship looks like. Okay, worship is not about like what we do here on Sunday. Okay, it's part of worship, but worship is not just singing songs. Okay, worship is not just the church service or a worship service we go to. Worship is the way we live our lives. Do we choose to live our lives every day in a way that is honoring to God, in a way that is obeying what he says and how he says to treat ourselves and other people around us and how we should relate to him? That is what true worship is. And so what I want us to see today is that the physical building was important, okay? They had to go back. They had to build the physical building. That was part of the plan. But the physical building was not the real goal and was not the ultimate goal, okay? What was the ultimate goal? The ultimate goal was worship. The ultimate goal was that people would know the one true God. And this is so applicable to where we're at today, right? I don't even have to really make the connection. Right, the physical building is important, but that is not the end of it, okay? If we don't use this building to worship the true God, then it really doesn't matter what the building looks like, right? So to continue the story a little bit, because we gotta kind of take this full circle today. There's about a gap, okay? So between the Old Testament and New Testament, there's a gap of about 400 years. So this is about 450 years later, a man comes onto the scene. His name is Jesus, as we know him. And Jesus says this, he's looking at the same temple that was rebuilt 450 years earlier. And he says to the people there, he says, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. And the people around him are like a little bit offended by that. Do you know how long it took to build this temple? All those types of things. They think he's talking about the physical building. But it says this, but he was speaking about the temple of his body. And so what Jesus was saying was, yes, this is a physical building here, but the true temple of God is my body, is me, okay? Like people, human beings, where God dwells, where his spirit dwells, is within people, and it dwelt within Jesus perfectly. But the New Testament also teaches that it can dwell within us, okay? And this comes true. Jesus, this prophecy that Jesus said comes true. Jesus died as the punishment that we deserve for continuing to follow false gods in our own life, for continuing to rebel against God, just like the Israelites did. Jesus died as our punishment in our place, but then he's raised up again. This temple, his body, was raised up again to life after 3 days to prove that he is the one and true only God. Okay, then Jesus invites people in to trust him. Okay, and if you trust him, if you put your faith and trust in him instead of the false gods that are around us today, what happens? That Spirit fills them. Okay, the Spirit fills us when we believe, when we trust in God. The same Spirit that filled Jesus, the Holy Spirit, comes to flawed and broken people like you and I and fills us. Okay, and the teaching is, in the New Testament, we got to bring it full circle. The New Testament says, where God's Spirit dwells is not in any physical building. Okay, it's not in a temple. There's no temple today. There's no place, there's no physical building where God's Spirit dwells. But there is a spiritual temple. Ephesians 2:21 says this, we are carefully joined together in him, in Jesus, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. Okay, in context, he's talking about the church. He's really talking about Jews and Gentile coming together, but I think it applies to all of the church, right? That today we are the temple that's being built into becoming a holy temple for the Lord. Okay, another place that Paul talks about in the New Testament is 1 Corinthians. Don't you realize that all of you together are the temple of God and that God's Spirit lives in you? Okay, this is one of those I love to translate it as, do you not realize that yins are the temple of God? All you, plural, okay? It's not just talking, like, a lot of times we hear about, you know, my body's the temple, and he does talk about how our physical bodies are a temple as well, okay? If we're a Christian, the Spirit's living in us, but really, here, it's all of us together, okay? All of us, the church, is where God dwells. His Spirit dwells in his people together, and this church, this temple, is still under construction. God is adding and building to that temple and adding stones to the foundation every single day, okay? And just want to say, like, every day there's more and more people that are saying yes to Jesus, trusting in him, and becoming part of this temple. And God is doing this all for his glory and for his credit. And finally, just to bring us full all the way, okay? Someday, there's not going to be need for a physical building. There's not going to be need for a temple, okay? Revelation, the very end of the Bible, says God, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. And lastly, I saw no temple in the city. Okay, this is John saying about what heaven's going to look like someday. Okay, the new heavens. He says, I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb. There's not going to be a need for a temple, right, in the future, because God is the temple. Okay, and the people of God are with him, dwelling with him. And he is their God, and they are his people. And so all of this is our hope, right? That God wants to dwell with his people for his glory, right? So we could say and take this story today and say the Bible is the story of a building God. He's building his temple, his church, his people for his glory. God is about building his temple, his church, his people, and he's doing it for his glory. So I feel like we just covered a lot of ground, okay? So I got to take a deep breath. I apologize if we covered too much ground, but there's so much, right? If we understand the big picture story of the Bible, then we can find ourselves in our story within that story, right? And it's a lot, right? There's a lot there if we want to get the big picture story and we're looking at, like, high from a high level. But if we want to really get who we are, then we got to really understand that big picture story. So let's go down to kind of our level today. What's our story, right? First, we're going to look at our story as the church together, and then we're going to look at our story as individuals. But three takeaways for the church together today. Okay, the first is this. Let's build God's house, okay? Let's build God's house. Now, we got to remember what that means, right? It's his dwelling place. It's his people, okay? So, yes, let's build this building. Okay, let's work on this building, church. Let's continue the awesome work that you guys have already put in. Let's make it a great, awesome place. But let's also keep in mind, right, that the church is not the building. Okay, the church is not about the walls and how nice it looks and those types of things. The church is about the people. And the reason that we want to build this place is so that more and more people will get to know God, will experience God. And just think about, like, let yourself think about and dream about all the people that are around you, right? All the people that are out in the street somewhere today, that are in their house, that are doing something else today, that are going to learn about Jesus in this building and in this place. That are going to hear about God's love, that are going to hear the gospel in this place. Okay, I say it a lot because I think it's really true. It's on the back of my shirt today, right? We have a mission because God loves people. And I know that sounds like really simple and obviously, right? But that is something that can keep us so centered if we just remember that simple little phrase, okay? Because it's really easy in church to start, like, we're trying to do these things, okay? And we're trying to get more people to come and we're trying to, like, make it awesome, right? But then we forget about why are we doing these things, right? We're doing these things because God loves people and God wants people to know Him and to love Him. And the church is called to share that message. And we're called to share that message well. And we're called to share it boldly. And we're called to share it faithfully. And we're called not to forget that simple, simple truth. That why we are doing all this stuff is because God loves people and wants more people to be connected to Him. Okay? So let's build God's house, God's church together. Secondly, let's build by God's Spirit. Remember what Zechariah said. Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, okay? It's not about how good we are when we do this. It's not about how strong we are. If it is, we're in trouble, right? It's not about our wisdom and building things or in making things happen in the church, okay? It's about God's Spirit. It's going to happen in God's timing and through God's Spirit. And so we have to remember that. We have to approach this with the same posture as a church, okay? And then finally, as a church, let's build for God's glory. Okay, remember why God wanted the physical temple restored so more people could know about Him and ultimately for His glory. Okay, and that's true worship. Okay, if we build this place for God's glory and for God's credit and for God's fame around the world, then it will be an awesome thing, right? If it's for our glory, for our credit, for our name, obviously it's going to fall apart. It's going to fail. Okay, so let's keep it in mind. Let's build it for God's glory. Let's build God's house. Let's do it by God's Spirit and the way God would want it done. Let's do it for God's glory. And church, like, if we continue to do that and follow these three things, like, it's going to go awesome. And we're excited. I'm excited to see what God does with it. Okay, so that's kind of like as a church, right? What can we take away from this lesson, this story today? I think those three things are important for us, right? Okay, and then lastly, what can we take away from today's story as individuals? Okay, the first thing I want to say is this, right? What God said to them was, consider your ways, right? You're living in these paneled houses, but my house is lying in ruins, okay? And remember what the kind of the attitude was. How's that going for you? Okay, and the question, the challenge that I want to give to you today is, consider your ways, okay? What's the current way that you're living your life? What outcomes is that leading to? Okay, what outcomes is it leading to? The way the New Testament talks about it is like fruit on a tree, right? If your life is a tree, what fruit is your life producing? Is your life producing anger and hate and greed and envy and jealousy and all those things that we all would see as negative things, right? Or is your life producing love, joy, peace, patience, what the Bible would call the fruit of the Spirit? Okay, what is coming out of you as you live your life, as you make choices and the things you choose to do and things you choose to be around and to fill your brain and your heart? Okay, consider your ways. How are you living? Okay, and this is for all of us. Like, this is for me as well. This is something that all of us have to continually do and continually practice. How am I living and how's that going for me, right? How is it? What's the outcome? Am I having more of God in me or more of myself, my sinful nature coming out? So number one is consider your ways. Number two is it's never too late to rebuild. Okay? It's never too late to rebuild your life. See, when you tear something down, I want to show you this picture again and just make this point. So when you tear something down, like on the left side, we had torn down some stuff, it can look pretty ugly what you see underneath, right? That's kind of like what it really looks like on the outside, on the inside of our hearts, on the left picture sometimes. And we try to make it look like the right, like we try to make it look on the outside like it's all put together. But really on the inside of our hearts, it's kind of like what's underneath the wall, okay? And just want to use this picture to say today, like, we all have that left side picture deep down there. Okay? We all have that shadowy side that we never wished people would see. We wish people could, we could just cover it with nice drywall and make it look perfect. But we can't. Okay? And we have to consider what's on the inside of our hearts if we're really wanting to grow in our relationship with God. But my encouragement in that is to say it's never too late. Okay, it's never too late to rebuild. If you feel like your life looks like more like that picture and your heart looks more like the left-handed picture, it's never too late to begin rebuilding your life from something new. Okay, it's never too late to do that. And then finally, when we rebuild our life, rebuild it on God's love. Just like the song that we sang earlier today, rebuild it on God's love. Okay? My last point for today is to say this. Why is God so persistent about the people making a dwelling place for him, the people building his temple? Why is he so persistent about that? Throughout the story, when we look at it from a big picture, it's because God wants a relationship with us. God wants us to know him. God wants us to know his steadfast love for us. That's why God is so persistent. Build this temple for me, okay? So I can show you what I'm like and show you how much I love you. So when you rebuild, when you consider your ways, realize it's not too late to rebuild your life and rebuild it on something that's strong. The only foundation that's worth building your life on is Jesus. Anything else is going to crack, crumble, fall to the ground. It's going to be faulty building. Rebuild your life on God's love. And that's my encouragement for you today. I hope that hits home for you somewhere. So, with that said, let me pray for us, and we'll close our service for today. Lord, we just thank you for who you are. We thank you for your grace and kindness in all things and in showing us this story today. Lord, would you just help us to learn and take away something from your word, from Prophet Haggai, and from Ezra and Nehemiah, and the big picture, what's going on there, the temple that's being rebuilt, and all the things that are happening. Lord, would you just help us to kind of see that and kind of understand who you are through that? That you are God who wants to dwell with your people. That you are God who wants to live in us and with us. So would you just help us see that today? Lord, and would you help us to take away what you want us to take away this morning? Lord, help us to, as a church, build your house, your church, your temple. Help us remember it's about people and not about a physical building. Lord, help us to make the building great for people that come in here, but remember why we're doing it. And help us to do it by your spirit and your power and for your glory, we pray. And finally, God, just for our own lives as we go and we live, just help us to build, rebuild, and consider our ways daily and to rebuild every day. If we get knocked down a little bit, rebuild the next day and rebuild it upon the foundation of your love and who you are and what you speak into our lives. We pray that you would help us with this. We can't do this by ourselves. Help us to have wisdom from those around us and from you ultimately through your word. We pray in that process. And guys, pray for every person here that they would know your deep love for them, that they would also know what you're calling them to do as they consider their ways, as they consider how they're living life. And Lord, just give them wisdom to rebuild things and to build things upon your love this morning. We thank you again for this place, this space. Thank you that we could all here share in the first day of it this morning. And we just pray you would continue to bless this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, great to worship with you today. Again, we'll be here next Sunday again before we go to camp in 2 weeks. But feel free to hang out, look around, just hang out for a little bit. But that's it for service today.